The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
It's one of those weekends where even if you're not a sports fan, you can't help but be drawn into the magic of a big event, because after missing last year's traditional April date, we're heading back to Augusta for the US Masters, one of the most loved tournaments in all of sport. Meanwhile, Leinster travel to Exeter in the Champions Cup quarterfinals. The Premier League continues. Monaghan caught up in the latest GAA COVID training scandal. And Arsene Wenger is predicting we'll have automated offside decisions in soccer within the year. Eoin Sheehan of OTB Sport is on the line. Eoin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about the Masters first of all. I mean, it's good to have it back in April when the course is behaving as perhaps it should behave for a Masters, unlike in the darkest of winter when the course was damp and the ball did not roll as it would normally roll. But it didn't help Rory McIlroy one way or the other.
No, it certainly didn't. You're right. The greens were like dartboards almost last November for the Masters. This year, they're like panes of glass, which you kind of expect from Augusta. And a lot of people suffered as a result yesterday. As you mentioned, Rory McIlroy, certainly one of those people. He can't really blame the course, though, for his poor performance. One of his shots was so wayward, he ended up hitting his own father, who was standing in the gallery at one point, which kind of led to, a smile almost at the end for Rory McIlroy in his post-round press conference, because at his point in his form at the moment, if you don't laugh, you'll probably cry. And he's obviously made a few changes, coaches-wise, swing-wise, over the last little while. Nothing is working so far, but he's probably on the curve back towards trying to get back to form. So around a 76 and 4 over par, not great, to say the least, from Rory McIlroy yesterday.
Yeah. Shane Lowry's one under, so he's what, 6 off the lead, which is held by Justin Rose. So he's still in the game.
Absolutely. Now, Shane Lowry was, it was incredible to watch yesterday when he had that shot, I think it was on the 15th, which rolled right off the green, the chip from the side of the green, which went right by the pin and rolled into the water. One of those moments where you just have to accept that Augusta National will beat you up every so often. He came back, though, with birdies on 16 and 18 to finish up on one under par, as you say. He's in a tie for 8th position, so he is certainly the big Irish hope this weekend. Shane Lowry, his game isn't the most unsuited to Augusta. He's still finding his way around the course and is getting better. If he finishes in the top 10, it will be by distance his best finish at the Masters. But it's looking already, Pat, like Justin Rose is going to be the man to catch. He shot a 7 under par round of 65 yesterday, which is just incredible, because the course did play very tough yesterday. And Justin Rose was just majestic, didn't put a foot wrong in his last 10 or 11 holes, and was awesome, really. And you could actually have a situation this year that, yes, the course is playing much tougher than November, but you could have a similar situation with the winner running away from the pack, a la Dustin Johnson last year.
That'd be a pity if that's the way it pans out. It takes the excitement out of the whole weekend. Talking about excitement this weekend, we have Exeter and Leinster, and that's going to be a tough nut for Leinster to crack with some key people missing from the squad.
Some key people missing, but they do have incredible depth across their team, and there are still a number of selection headaches for Leo Cullen in a positive sense. One of those selection headaches might be in the second row, where it looks as if Scott Fardy is going to get the nod over Ryan Baird to partner Devon Toner. A bit more grunt, a bit more maturity perhaps is behind that decision, because as you say, Exeter, the reigning champions, they're an outstanding team. They've come on quite a bit since their last meeting in this competition in 2017, and as we've seen over the last couple of years, Leinster have struggled against English teams. Now, Exeter are different to Saracens. They perhaps don't have quite the brute force that Saracens would have had over the last couple of years, but they're still bloody good up front, and that is where Leinster probably are looking to try and get a bit of an edge by that Fardy selection, which looks to be predicted. As you say, though, the likes of Gary Ringrose are missing, but it's still going to be an awesome team, and they're rested up after last week, which some people say maybe will go against them, but they're still within 2 weeks of playing a grand final in the Pro 14, so that should not count against them whatsoever. I think it'll be a big positive, actually.
Okay, and in football or soccer, we've got a lot of action in the Premier League. What is it, Tottenham versus Manchester United?
Yeah.
One to savour, I would think. Chelsea would expect to do the business when they travel to Crystal Palace. Anything else springs to mind now for this weekend? Leicester, West Ham?
Yeah, for sure. West Ham, Leicester, or like West Ham flying at the moment inside the top four. But as you say, Chelsea going to Crystal Palace with a little bit of pressure on them now to ensure that they keep the heat up on West Ham and get into the top four. Manchester United going to Spurs, though, is the game of the weekend. It is Jose Mourinho going up against his old club. There has been plenty of talk that Jose is going to be out the door at Tottenham Hotspur at the end of this season. Whereas Manchester United, on the other hand, are looking to have rediscovered a little bit of their form. They ground out a 2-0 win against Granada last night. They weren't amazing. Some of their players looked tired, but they're grinding out results without playing that well, which is kind of the Manchester United we saw when they were supposedly challenging for the title shortly after Christmas. So that'll be an interesting one on Sunday. You might give Manchester United this slight edge given Tottenham's latest woes, but it is certainly the fixture of the weekend from a Premier League standpoint.
But the problem is, when you're in the Europa rather than in the Champions League, you're playing a day later, which shortens your recovery time, which is always an issue. You need a very deep squad to be able to perform at the highest level consistently. League of Ireland, St. Pat's and Derry, Dundalk and Bowes. Sligo Rovers, Shamrock Rovers, Longford Town and Drogheda, Finn Harps, Waterford. Pick of those?
Yeah, like, I mean, tonight when you look at the fixtures, Dundalk against Bowes is definitely the pick of those fixtures. Two teams that might have gone into the year feeling that they can really challenge for this title. Bowes obviously with a bit of more of an outside shot. Now, they've started the season pretty poorly, to be honest. They've got a draw and two losses, and that's the exact same record for Dundalk. So something's got to give probably in that fixture tonight, as one of those teams looks to properly get their season kick-started.
And then Arsene Wenger predicting automation for offside. Now, I'm fascinated by this because it's at the moment when the ball is kicked and where the players are situated. So how is it going to work?
So basically, there's going to need to be a review of the offside law, and to say that it's automated is probably a little bit of a stretch. It's going to be semi-automated decisions. The certain technology will have essentially straightaway goals being given from the linesman's perspective, that you might have to wait 70 seconds at the moment for this to come through. So they'll have those lines, they'll have the identification of a player and the identification of an opposition player, and those lines will be drawn automatically, and there will be no need for marginal situations, as he's put it, no need for subjectivity to come into play. I would be sceptical of this myself. I think that there will be always something when it comes to offside about how offside is a player, whether it comes to the ball leaving the foot of the player who's playing the pass or the man who's actually standing offside. But Wenger seems confident of this. He says the automated offside will be ready for the 2022 World Cup. I'd certainly have my doubts about how you can actually automate this thing.
All right, and finally, the Grand National.
The Grand National, 5:15 tomorrow evening. Cloth Cap is the favourite going into that one. John Joe O'Neill's Cloth Cap looks to be the favourite going into that. But as it is every year, really, the Grand National is one big lottery. Manila Times is somebody that's going to, is a horse that's going to get a lot of attention as well. Rachel Blackmore will be on board Manila Times.
All right. Well, it's an attritional race, that's for sure. And it's a toss-up between the survivors, I suppose, after two rounds of that very, very tough course, including, of course, Beecher's Brook, that famous fence. Eoin Sheehan of OTB Sports, thank you very much.